Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness. I want to talk to you tonight about the story of Zacchaeus, okay? I was reading this story, and some things just begin to stick out to me about Zacchaeus, things that I'd never seen or never noticed before. You know, this is one of those stories that if you went to church as a child, you met Zacchaeus on a flannel board, right? You guys remember the flannel boards? I met Zacchaeus on a flannel board, and they always had, you know, a child playing, you know, like Isaac, they got sacrificed last week. Right, or was going to get sacrificed, was Zacchaeus this week. He just had a different robe on, right? And it's like, you have that one kid, usually me, it's like, that's not Zacchaeus, that's Isaac. And it's like, no, tonight, it's Zacchaeus, okay? And so it's one of these stories that we're super familiar with. We've heard a lot from the time that we're a child. There's even a hit song about Zacchaeus, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little... That's a hit song in the Christian realm, okay? That's like, everybody knows that song, right? And so there's these stories that we've heard so many times, it's really easy to, when we get to them in the Bible, just like read them and take them for what we've known them as our entire life. But I began to read this, and as I began to read it deeper and deeper, I began to see things about Zacchaeus that was like, whoa, I'd never noticed that about his character. I've never noticed that about, you know, who he was in the Bible. And it's interesting because anytime somebody got in the Bible, they got in there for a reason. Right? Even the guy that fled naked in the garden was in there for a reason. That's like weird, right? You know, or how about the lady that just yelled out, blessed is the breast that fed you, to Jesus. It's like, what? Like, is that in the Bible? You know, but it is. And everybody that's in there got in there for a reason. And so God wants us to learn something about Zacchaeus. And so let's talk about the wee little man. Okay. The wee little man was he. Zacchaeus was proof that it's what's on the inside that matters most, okay? I want to show you this tonight because he may have been short in stature, but there was humongous potential inside of him. And sometimes, spiritually speaking, we feel like a wee little man or a wee little woman. Because of our past, because of our failures, because of our problems, because of the home that we grew up in, because of the things that we have been labeled with from school, from work, from our spouse, whatever it may be, we feel like a wee little person. But what I love about Zacchaeus is he didn't let anything keep him from getting to Jesus. Yeah. And sometimes we allow all these things in our life that make us feel small, insignificant, little, not good enough to keep us from seeking Jesus. And I want to encourage you tonight. I can't get away from, on Wednesday nights especially, seeking Jesus. Seeking Jesus. You know, last week, obviously, Pastor Matt was here, but the week before, we talked about Mary and Martha and how Mary chose the good part just to sit at the feet of Jesus. I can't get away how important it is to seek Jesus in your daily life. If you want to live and serve God and be a God-fearing, God-loving person, you got to seek God on a daily basis. Amen? So he was short in stature, but there was humongous potential. He's a fine example. Zacchaeus is a fine example of what God meant when he told Samuel, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, right? Man looks at the outward appearance. Samuel was going to anoint the next, king of Israel, and he saw David's oldest brother, and he thought, surely this is the guy. He's handsome. He's strong. He's got it all together. But that's what they already had, and it wasn't working out for them, right? Saul was a head and shoulders taller than everybody else. He was the most handsome person in the land. But your natural ability is not what God is looking for. He gives you natural ability. There's nothing wrong with natural ability, but God is looking at the heart, okay? And I want to look at Zacchaeus tonight because there was a heart inside of this guy that we're going to find through Scripture that I'd never seen this before. He was seeking after Jesus. He was seeking God. He wanted to be close to him. But man would look at someone like Zacchaeus and would pass him by, right? And so the Lord looks at the heart. Zacchaeus had the appearance of someone that was wicked, Someone that was greedy, somebody that was a thief, and someone that was sinful. That was the rap that tax collectors got. Everybody hated tax collectors. Everyone still hates tax collectors, right? Nothing's changed. Here we are 2,000 years later, and everybody still hates tax collectors. But anyways, he had this appearance of evil, right? And he did. He had extorted money from his fellow people. And tax collectors, you know one reason why they were extremely hated by people? Is because they were Jews doing the Romans' work. And so it wasn't just like, here's a foreigner that's taking my money. It was like, here's my cousin who's taking my money. Here's my next door neighbor who's taking my money. Here's the guy I graduated from Bethlehem with taking my money, right? It was like, you're supposed to be one of us and you have betrayed us and started taking and extorting money from us. So he had the appearance to his peers, to his community, of somebody that was evil and somebody that was wicked. And we'll even see that in the scripture. So let's go to Luke chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3, and we're going to look at Zacchaeus from a different perspective tonight, okay? Let's pray, and you can keep turning there if you want while I pray. Father, I ask that you would anoint my lips and my mind tonight to speak, not what I think, not what I feel, but what the Spirit of God is saying. I just give complete control to you right now, Holy Spirit. And I ask that over these next 30 to 45 minutes that you would just speak to our hearts, God. That you would open up the things in there that have been closed off, Lord, that you would heal the things that have been hurting, that you would remove the things that have not been, what we need. And so I just ask that you would use this word tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Luke 19, 1 through 3. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was. I want you to pay attention that night. He sought to see who Jesus was. The ESV I read earlier today, it says, he was seeking to see who Jesus was. He was seeking after him. He sought to see who Jesus was. But he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Okay, that's where we're going to stop for now. Zacchaeus, the name in Hebrew, means pure and innocent. Okay? That's what that name means. Now, when we think of Zacchaeus, we don't think pure and innocent. We think a short little guy that climbed a tree, right? And when his neighbors looked at Zacchaeus, they didn't think pure and innocent. They thought extortioner, cheater, liar, thief, short guy, right? That's what they thought of when they saw him. But obviously, Zacchaeus had a mama and a daddy that longed for him to be a man that sought the Lord. That longed for it, because listen, you don't name your child pure and innocent for no reason, right? And you know, we may have people that don't name their children stuff today, they have no idea what it means. But in Hebrew culture, you named your child according to what you wanted them to be, right? It was family names, but you knew what those family names meant, and you would pick them and you would choose them. And that's why so often through the Bible it would say, and when a lady had a baby and she bore a child and named him this, which means, right? It was big in their culture to name someone according to what you thought they were supposed to be, what God put on your heart. And so obviously as a mom and a dad who longed for him to seek God with a pure heart, to be holy, to be pure. So his parents name him pure and innocent. And I want to take a moment really quick to tell you this. No matter what age your children are, what you speak over your children matters. What you say over your children matters. Whether they're adults or whether they're children, whether they're babies, whether they're teenagers, whether they're out of the house or still living in the house, what you say over your children matters. What you teach them matters. Because listen, they may stray, they may rebel, they may go the wrong way, but you are feeding their destiny. Somewhere, Zacchaeus had a mom or a grandmother or a dad or a grandfather that was on their knees saying, God, Zacchaeus is on the wrong path right now, but I pray that you would bring him back to righteousness. God, you know that we named him pure and innocent. And God, I pray that you would put it in his heart to seek after the Messiah, to seek the Lord. And so raise them up in the way that they should go so that when they're old, they won't depart from it. Zacchaeus may have gotten off the wrong path. He's a tax collector. He's a sinner. He's been stealing. But he wants to seek to find out who Jesus is. Why? Because somewhere he had a mom and a dad, I can guarantee it, that said, our son is going to be pure. He's going to be innocent. I pray that for my children every day. God, I pray that they'd be pure men. I pray that Zoe would be a pure woman, that they would be after your heart. So raise them up. And I believe that I just have to believe that Zacchaeus had a grandmother or a mother somewhere that was praying that. Because like I said, you don't name your child pure and innocent when you're a wicked and deceitful person, right? A wicked and deceitful person doesn't go, you know what I'm going to name my child? Pure and innocent, right? So don't give up on your children, right? Don't stop being intentional to pour into them. Speak promises over them, over their destiny. They're not too far gone. If Zacchaeus wasn't too far gone, your child is not too far gone. So I'm going to call him Zach sometimes tonight, okay? Just because I feel like I'm friends with him after reading this story today. Zacchaeus is now Zach because we're American, okay? So Zach may have strayed from being pure and simple. I mean, it's pure and innocent. But there was something inside of him that wanted to know Jesus, right? Something had been planted in his heart because you cannot reap a seed that has not been sown, right? And so there was something that was coming to fruition in his life. It's like, I want to seek to find out who Jesus is, right? Something had been planted in his heart. He'd become a chief tax collector. And what that means is he had bid for the right to collect taxes. When you were a chief tax collector, the only way to get that position was just like if you were a contractor, you would bid for a job. It was the same concept back then. You would say, hey, I want to put in a bid to become the tax collector, because they knew that if they controlled the taxes, they controlled basically their own destiny. Because they, you know, Rome could say this person owes this much, but they knew they could charge more and live off of the rest, right? So they would bid for this. So he had chosen this occupation. He had bid for it. And so he's somewhat of a mob boss, right? This little short guy is like a kingpin. He's like a little mob boss, and he's sitting up in his large house with a high life while somebody else is actually going out and doing the dirty work. Because chief tax collectors, what they would do is they would hire out someone beneath them to go and collect the taxes. So that if somebody put up a fight, they weren't the one getting punched in the nose, okay? So they would hire some muscle to go out and take the taxes from people. So really, all Zacchaeus is doing is sitting in his house and enforcing taxes on people, and somebody else is doing all the dirty work. But something inside of him knew that it wasn't right. Somewhere deep in his soul, the truth was crying out, right? And the life and the lap of luxury couldn't fill the emptiness in his soul. And I want to look at what verse 3 says. It says, he sought to see who Jesus was. Okay? I love this. I love this so much. You know why? One, because I can't get away from talking about seeking Jesus. But here is what the religious crowd would call a sinner, a thief, a wretched person. He was hated by his fellow Jews because he had extorted money from them. But there was a desire inside of him to know Jesus. There was something in his heart that said, I got to know him. I got to know the Savior. I got to know the Messiah, right? And so don't judge others based on what you see. I really want to encourage you with that. When you look at other people, because you don't know what they're doing in their heart. He was still a tax collector, but he was seeking Jesus, okay? You might look at somebody and they're a drunk, but you don't know that on their knees they are praying. They're asking God, would you please deliver me from this alcohol? Would you please deliver me from these drugs? Would you please deliver me from this sin? And so you don't know what somebody's got going on the inside, because all you can see is on the outside. And everybody thought that Zacchaeus was an evil, wicked person, but inside of his heart, there was something that wanted to seek Jesus. You can't judge a book by its cover. I remember when I was growing up, we had this girl that, man, she was wild, right? She was just wild. And she got saved. But she didn't dress like everybody else in the church dressed. You know why? Because she'd just gotten saved. She still had, you know, crop tops that were showing all the midriff. She still had booty shorts, you know, like Daisy Duke. And she, you know, still had all this, you know, just clothes that church women were like, you don't wear that in church. You know, you need a modesty cloth, girl. And finally, one of the old saints of the church had had enough. And she went up to her like a couple days after she'd gotten saved on a Sunday, Wednesday night. She went up to her and she said, honey, you don't need to be dressing like that in the church. And the girl looked at her and said, Jesus gave me a new heart. He didn't give me a new wardrobe. She said, this is all I've got to wear. And when I can get more clothes, I will. But right now, this is all I've got. So let's be careful to not judge people based on what we see, right? Because God looks at the heart while man is looking at the outward appearance. You can't judge a book by its cover. Zacchaeus, here's what I want to point out though in verse 3. This is so important because I think this is what a lot of the church misses when we talk about seeking God. Okay? Verse 3, read it again. And he sought to see who Jesus was. Okay? He didn't seek to see what Jesus could do.
Yeah.
He sought to see who he was. So many people are seeking, what can he do for me? Zacchaeus wasn't seeking what Jesus could do for him. He wanted just to know Jesus. He didn't just want to see the miracles and the exploits. He wanted to see the character of Jesus. He wanted to see the heart of Jesus. He wanted to see the personality of Jesus. He wasn't seeking the hand of Jesus. Rather, he was seeking the heart of Jesus. And there's so many people that when life gets bad, they run to Jesus just hoping that he will fix all their problems. But Zacchaeus was seeking, he's saying, I want to know, who is that guy? Meaning, I want relationship with him. I don't just want like a trade-off, like, hey, will you take care of my problems? Will you take care of my sorrows? Will you make me feel better about myself? Will you help me get a raise? Will you help me get a better job? No, he was like, I just want to know you. I don't want anything else. He wanted to know him. How did he live? How did he talk? How did he walk? What made him who he was? What made him powerful? What made him holy? What made him strong? What made him loving? What made him kind? That's what I want to go after. I want to go after who he is, right? So many people want the power of God without intimacy with God. But power only comes through intimacy. See, Zacchaeus wasn't just seeking the hand of Jesus. Touch me and heal me. Touch me and fix me. And listen, Jesus wants to do that. But the reason I think Zacchaeus, you'll see this, gets so much honor is because he sought Jesus. If you want to be used by God, just get close to him.
Good.
Just get close to him, right? Just be within reach. And he'll grab you and he will begin to use you. He'll begin to put you into places. But power only comes through intimacy. Seek who he is, not just what he can do. You know that person that only calls you when they need something?
Yeah.
Nobody likes that person, right? You see their name on the phone, and goodness, I hope I'm not that person to anybody. But you know that you are that person to somebody, and you know that somebody's that person to you. It happens, okay? Every time you see them call, what do they want now? They're gonna ask me to do something. You know, maybe it's a family member that they only call you every 5 years, and it's when they need money, right? Or they only show up when they need help moving, right? It's like, you haven't heard from this cousin in 4 years. And he's like, hey, man, I'm moving this weekend. I was wondering if I could get a few hands. You're like, no, right? I haven't seen you in 4 years. No, you don't even come to family reunion. Anyways, we all know that person. Maybe you're that person to somebody else. Well, I want to encourage you, don't be that person to God.
Yeah.
That you only pray when you need a bill paid. You only pray when you need a breakthrough. You only talk to him. You only seek him. Zacchaeus was seeking who he was, not what he could do. Amen? If some of us, though, were Zacchaeus, because listen to this right here. Let's read verse 3 again. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he couldn't because of the crowd, because he was short stature. Now, don't get mad at me, but if some of you or us were Zacchaeus, the story would have ended there. Here's what I mean by that. We would have gone, well, I tried, but I couldn't, right? I gave it a go, but, you know, I've got this problem in my life. I was born short. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't change it. You know, it's always been that way, and I guess it always will be. So at least I tried. I'm sure God knows that I tried, right? The story would have just ended right there, because so many people are looking for an excuse to quit, right? I mean, okay, let's look at the world today, right? Pick any drive-thru that you want to go through, it's going to take 15 minutes. Why? Because nobody wants to work, right? Everybody can sit at home and make more money on the couch than they can flipping burgers or chicken nuggets or fries or whatever it is that you want to eat. The other night, and I'm not complaining about this. I'm going somewhere with this. After night of worship, Pastor Matt Ward and I were driving to Nashville. We decided we would go to McDonald's. Well, the line was out to the road, and we knew there's three people working in that restaurant, right? So I'm not pulling in there. So we went to Taco Bell, and we waited three cars, right? And we get up, and they said, hey, it's cash only. And I said, can you break a large bill? And they said, no. I said, all right. So we pulled over to Wendy's, and we waited in line behind the Sparks and Miss Kelly Gardner for like 10 minutes, and it never moved. I don't know if Alton was ordering the whole menu or what, but it just, you know, it never moved. And so we were like, we will drive to Huntsville and we'll find something on the way through there. But here's the thing, is we get so frustrated about that, right? We get so angry that like nobody wants to work, right? Like everything, it's not because of COVID. Now it's because nobody wants to work. And so it's not, you don't have any dining only, it's to go only because they don't have people to work the front of the house. And we get so mad about it. But And we're like, people don't want to work, they just quit, but we do it spiritually all the time. Yeah. We don't push, we don't pursue, we don't go deeper. We just, well, I tried, but I've got this problem in my life that keeps me from seeing Jesus, right? And Zacchaeus didn't play the complain game. He didn't play the feel sorry for me game. He didn't go to somebody in the crowd and go, hey, I'm short, can I get to the front of the line, right? He did something about it. He did something different. But so many people are like, I tried, but I couldn't. I've got this problem. I've got this deal. I gave it my best shot. Guess it's not for me, right? Yeah. Not Zach, right? The Bible says that when he hit a roadblock, he didn't turn around and go home. He ran further. Yeah. He got ahead and he climbed. He had seeking inside of him. His desire to know Jesus was greater than his willingness to give up. Yeah. His desire to seek and to know who Jesus was greater than his embarrassment. It was greater than his feeling sorry for himself. It was greater than his list of excuses. He pushed on. He had a physical limitation. Yeah. But spiritual hunger was greater than his physical disability. And so many times we use these physical problems. Did you know that sometimes if you will push through the physical disability, Jesus will heal the physical disability? Think about the woman with the issue of blood. She had a physical disability, but she climbed, crawled through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment, and boom, she was healed in an instant. She didn't go, you know, and make an excuse of why she couldn't get there. She pressed on. She pressed in. She sought after Jesus. And so he had a physical limitation, but his spiritual hunger was greater than his physical disability. And I want to ask you, what are you allowing to keep you from seeking Jesus? Is it you just sleep too long? Is it your desire for a social media platform, the news? Is it, you know, working out? Is it eating? Is it, what is it? Is it this thing of, well, I've tried before and it didn't really work, and so I guess it's just not for me, but I'm a good person and I still love Jesus and I still love God and I still go to church. No, he wants something more with you. Yeah. He wants a deeper relationship with you. I'm sure that blind Bartimaeus was so glad that he didn't let anybody hold him back, yeah, right? He cried out and he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And so people said, hey man, be quiet. Don't bother Jesus. The Bible says that blind Bartimaeus cried out all the more. And when he did, Jesus stopped and he said, bring that guy to me. And when they brought him to him, Jesus prayed for him and healed him of his infirmity. He removed the physical limitation because Bartimaeus didn't allow the physical limitation to keep him from a spiritual encounter. Okay? So I'm sure he's glad that he didn't let anything keep him. He didn't let his blindness keep him from crying out. He didn't let other people keep him from crying out. And if you keep allowing those limitations to hinder your seeking of Jesus, guess what? You'll stay limited. Yeah. If you allow your physical, mental, emotional limitations to keep you from Jesus, you'll stay limited. Yeah. But if you will push through the pain, it might be painful to get down on your knees in the morning and say, God, I give it all to you. I love you. I praise you. I magnify you. You might realize that when you get back up on that knee that was hurting when you got down, it's not hurting anymore because you pushed through. And I'm not telling you to willfully inflict pain upon yourself. Don't get me wrong, okay? This is not a weird religion that's like, you need to beat your back with a rod until you feel the sin leave your body. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is sometimes we are so, we'll find anything to keep us from seeking God. We'll find any excuse, right? Okay. The Lord wants to set you free. But the question is, how bad do you want to be free? Yeah. like Bartimaeus, like Zacchaeus. Because listen to verse 4. Verse 4 says, "So he ran and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way." He literally ran ahead and climbed a tree. I think because we've heard this story so many times, and these aren't real people to us, they're just characters in VeggieTales or on Flannel Graph, or that we've told our children about so many times, that you forget that this dude literally was in a crowd, and he's like, "I'm not getting through." And he just takes off running. Like, that's weird. Like, this guy, and he's a short man. So, like, imagine how funny this short guy looks running up ahead of everybody. And then it's not easy for a short person to climb a tree, right? He gave great effort, and he didn't care what anybody thought about him, even though he was an affluent person that made a lot of money, you know, and he just ran up on ahead of everybody and he climbed a tree. So verse 5 says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. And he said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Listen to verse 7. "But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, 'He is gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.'" So Zacchaeus didn't just run ahead. He climbed a tree to ensure that he would not get blocked again. Because he knew, if I just run up there, the same thing's going to happen. I don't need to just run ahead. I need to climb a tree. I need to get a different point of perspective. Okay? If you want to change from being limited, having these issues, these problems in your life that keep keeping you from seeking God, don't just run ahead, but go higher. Go to another level. Go to another perspective. Change the way you're looking at it. He didn't just move past the obstruction. He made sure it wouldn't hinder him next time. Okay? Maybe there is something that you can't kick. You can't quit. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a substance. Maybe it's a thing. Maybe it's a person. Well, what you need to do is you need to run past it and ensure that it's not going to keep you from whatever is blocking you from seeking Jesus. You need to get away from it and get above it. You need to go beyond it and get above it, right? And sometimes that getting above it is somebody else giving you a helping hand up by you just saying, "Hey, man, I'm struggling in this area. Hey, brother, sister, husband, wife, whoever it is to you, I'm struggling. Would you?" And they will help you up to that next level, into that tree, okay? So when your heart is set on seeking Jesus, truly, though, nothing will stop you. And guess what? Just like many other people in the Bible, just like Jesus will for you, he rewarded Zacchaeus. Yeah. He did. He didn't just go, "That's weird." You know, "What's he doing up there? Everybody check out the leprechaun in the tree. What's he doing?" Right? No, he honored him with his presence. The highest honor that Jesus can give is hanging out with you.
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone regret the fact that they sought Jesus. I've never seen anybody go, "I read too much of the Bible today, man. It was wasted. You know, I prayed too long. I really shouldn't have prayed that long. I probably should have spent more time on Facebook. That would have been better." You know, I've never seen anybody do that. You know why? Because he always makes it worth your time and effort when you seek him.
Yeah.
So Jesus stopped. He looks up at Zacchaeus. And he calls him by name, which is incredibly interesting. Either he knew him by reputation or he knew him through the Spirit. We don't know which one it is. He either knew him because he'd done a lot of people wrong and everybody had been complaining, "Man, Zacchaeus is the worst. He's got little man syndrome and he's always taking more money from everybody than they need." Or the Holy Spirit just told him, or the Father told him exactly who he was. Either way, he called him by name, right?
Yeah.
And he said, "Zacchaeus, get down here and get down here now." In essence, this is what he said, because he said, "Make haste and come down here." That's another way of saying, "Boy, get out of that tree quick," right? He said, "Get down here." He said, "Because I must come to your house."
Yeah.
Here's what I want you to see. Your seeking of Jesus will put a demand on him being involved in your life. Jesus didn't say, "Zacchaeus, come on down, man. I guess I'll come." He said, "I must come," meaning this is something I have to do. Why? Because of what you have done.
Yeah.
If you will seek Jesus, it will put a demand on him to show up in your life. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear Jesus say. Because listen, he was heading through town. Look at verse 1 again. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Okay, he was just passing through. Nothing, nowhere does it say that he intended on spending time in that place. He was just passing through. But this little guy that was full of passion, full of a heart for Jesus, ran ahead of everybody, climbed a tree, so much so that Jesus stopped, right? And he said, get down here because I have to go to your house. Yeah. If you are that intent on finding out who I am, I got to hang out with you.
Yeah.
I got to spend some time with you. I got to get into your house. And so he said, I'm coming to your house. He said, I have to. The desire that you are walking in, this is what Jesus is saying in essence. The desire that you're walking in has drawn me. I've got to spend some time with you, man. So Zacchaeus made haste and came down, the Bible said. Okay? This is huge. You know why this is huge? Because so many times we seek God. Maybe even sometimes we overcome some obstacles to get there and some hindrances. But when it gets real and it shows up, we get nervous. Right? And we're like, I'm not sure this is what I wanted, because that's when things get real, because you can't hide anything in the presence of Jesus, right? So when it gets real, when he shows up and he wants to come to our house, he wants to spend time with us in our mind and in our heart, we get nervous. We're like, no, it's not clean. It's a total mess. We've all had that conversation with somebody before. They want to come to your house and you're like, hey, man, now's just not a really good time, right? And if you ask a woman, it's never a good time to come to their house, right? It's always a mess. Something is wrong. There's one speck of dirt on that rug that's upstairs in the guest bedroom that they just didn't have time to get to. And they're just like, now's not a really good time. I couldn't tell you how many times people call me and they're like, hey, I'm going to swing by your house. And Madison's like, don't let them inside. And I'm like, okay. Hey, all right, I won't. If you haven't seen it, there's this video that this guy made, and he's like, moms, when people are coming over, and he's like carrying 3 vacuum cleaners around, and he's like, throw the pillows away, you know, and just like, he's like, this place needs to look like a fusion restaurant by noon. And he's just like, you know, just all this crazy stuff. That's how people act. But sometimes that's how we act in the spirit. When Jesus wants to hang out with us, we're like, no, man, I'm not worthy. I don't. And we make excuses. And I think that sometimes this is where we stop. Because we know we need to run on ahead, we need to climb the tree, we need to do, but when it gets real, when it comes to actually spend time with Jesus, this sounds crazy, but it can be very uncomfortable. You know why? Because we do it so rarely. It's like seeing somebody once every few years and you don't have a relationship with them, it can be a very awkward conversation. So what are you doing now? You know, it's like, I don't know what to do in this situation. And I think that Zacchaeus, it's important to realize, he didn't make excuses. He didn't say, oh, Jesus, you can't come to my house, man. My house is a bad house, right? We do bad things there, right? He said, okay, come on in. And guess what? It made all the religious people mad, right? The Bible says they complained. You know why they complained? Because Jesus went to dinner with a sinner. Okay, I think we need to start a ministry called Dinner with a Sinner. Okay, I'm serious. I know this sounds cheesy, but we should start a ministry where you take a sinner that you know to dinner. Okay, sounds goofy. I know it's corny, it's cheesy, but whatever. But here's the deal. Jesus made an impact because he didn't just sit in the synagogue all day.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't just hang out with good people. He said, the people that need a physician are the sick ones. If you have been saved, you need to be having dinner with a sinner. I'm on a mission to find a sinner to have dinner with in the next couple weeks. I'm just going to invite him. Hey, would you go to dinner with me? I'm not going to preach at him. I'm not going, because if you look at what happened in Zacchaeus' house, Jesus didn't stand up and re-preach the Sermon on the Mount. He didn't give him the Romans road to salvation. The Bible says Zacchaeus actually did the talking, and Jesus just listened to him, right? So I want to encourage you, find somebody that you work with. So find someone in your neighborhood. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's an acquaintance. Find a sinner to go to dinner with, okay? Just try it. See, and let me know how it goes. But they complained, and Jesus wasn't concerned with whether or not Zacchaeus was perfect. He was simply rewarding his desire. He didn't go, "Zacchaeus, repent of all your theft and I'll come to your house. Make everything right. Pay retribution." No, Zacchaeus came to that idea of his own accord, from the conviction that he received, not from what Jesus told him to do. So you can't have it all together without Jesus anyways. Yeah. So sometimes we're like, "I'm not ready for this." And Jesus is like, "Well, you'll never be ready, because you don't have it all together without me present anyways. So why do we shy away from allowing him to come in when there's nothing to be ashamed of? Nobody's perfect, right? And Jesus is the only one that can help us get to that place of purity, to that place of innocence, right? Remember, Zacchaeus' name means pure and innocent. Jesus was restoring Zacchaeus back to who he was actually supposed to be, who he was created and intended to be. Listen to verse 8, and we'll begin to wrap this up. "Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of all my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" Okay, couple things here. One, he said, "Today salvation has come to this house." I think we've got to change the way we look at salvation, because Zacchaeus didn't pray a sinner's prayer. Jesus didn't go, "Zacchaeus, repeat after me." Nothing wrong with that. There's times for it, okay? Everyone must confess Jesus is Lord with their mouth, believe in their heart. That's scripture, okay? But we've got to change the way we look at evangelism. We've got to change the way we look at dinner with a sinner. We've got to change the way that we look at people, because Jesus said, "This guy's been saved." Why? Because it's hard to change. Yeah. Because it's not just about what you say with your mouth. It's about what has happened in your heart. Obviously, Zacchaeus had a heart shift and a heart change. And here's the other thing I want to show. Zacchaeus didn't change his behavior and then Jesus came around. Jesus came around and that changed Zacchaeus' behavior. Okay? So often, we want everybody to change the way they live in order to come to Jesus, when the whole point of coming to Jesus is to change the way you live. So stop expecting your friends and your family to change before you introduce them to Jesus. We have a responsibility. That's why we should be having dinner with a sinner. We have a responsibility to introduce people to Jesus. And that is what will change them. But we're so busy pointing out that they smoke and they drink and they cuss that we're expecting them to just change all that on their own, right? Well, it's our responsibility to introduce them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that can help them change their behavior. But it all starts looking at us. Sometimes we think, "I better change the way that I'm living. I better change the way I'm thinking and talking." No, you need to seek Jesus and he will show you how to change the way that you're thinking and talking. But it all starts with desire. Yeah. So I want to charge you tonight to pray, "God, help me to desire you." Because if we don't have desire, we'll never seek him. If we don't have hunger, we'll never seek him. Pray, "God, help me to hunger and to thirst for you. God, help me to want you more than I want blank." Right? Because for everybody, it's different. Yeah. There's always something competing for time and energy that you should be spending with Jesus. There's always something, and for everybody, it's different, right? For one person, it may be college football, right? For another, it may be fishing. For another, it may be cooking shows. For another, it may be Facebook. For another, it may be shopping, gardening, playing golf, whatever it is, music, you know, reading. I don't know. We could go on and on and on, but there will always be something that's competing for time with him. So you need to pray, "God, help me to desire you more than I desire that." That sounds crazy, but listen, the problem is we don't get real with God enough and just say, "Hey, God, I'd rather look at Facebook than read the Bible right now." But you should tell him that. Because how else is he going to help you? Right? He's not going to come in and override your will, your desire, what you're doing. But he'll help you if you'll invite him in. And you'll say, "Hey, Jesus, I'm really sorry. but I honestly would rather watch the news than talk to you. I honestly would rather. And when you get honest, he'll say, my son, my daughter, I'll help you. I'll change you. But we always think, I got to beat this thing and then I can seek Jesus. No, you need to seek Jesus and ask him, will you help me beat this thing? Because you can't beat it on your own. Zacchaeus didn't go do all these great things and then come to Jesus and say, look what I did. He sought Jesus, and when he got in the presence of Jesus, he was like, look, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. Okay? Here's what I've decided. Here's what, after my time with you, the way I look at the world has changed. The way that I process things has changed. The way that I'm going to treat people, Jesus, has changed. And listen, it wasn't just Zacchaeus' life that changed, because imagine all the people that had been being overtaxed for years. Now, all of a sudden, they're getting kickback. They're getting a tax refund that they never saw. You know, TurboTax didn't show them. The IRS didn't give it back. All of a sudden, Zacchaeus is like, hey, all these taxes I've taken from you, I'm going to give back. Their life was changed. Could you imagine getting, I don't know how long he was a tax collector. Could you imagine getting 20 years of, you know, back, you know, tax refund? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like, just like, man, that would change your life, right? So when Jesus changes your life, it should change somebody else's life. Because not only were they restored what he'd taken, but no longer were they taxed more than was due in the future. So their life changed drastically. Why? Because one man had one encounter with Jesus Christ. So what could change in our community, in our region, if we started seeking Jesus the way that who a lot of people thought were a sinner, a thief, an awful person was seeking Jesus? Isn't it a shame that Zacchaeus sought Jesus better than most devout Christians?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was more passionate, more desirous of Jesus, even when it didn't look like he had his life altogether. So, a couple things. One, don't judge people that looks like they don't have their life all together, because you don't know what they're doing in private. You don't know what they're going after. Number two, don't let what's hindering you hinder you anymore.
Good.
Run ahead. Climb a tree. Seek him. Wake up 30 minutes earlier. Delete that app off your phone. Right? Ask your wife to hide the TV remote from you. I don't know what it's going to take. Right? Ask her to you know, get all the ice cream out of the house. Whatever it is that's like, I should be praying right now, but I'm going to go do this. Get that thing out of your life. Don't let it be an obstacle to you anymore. Amen? Stand to your feet with me tonight. I just want to pray a simple prayer over you tonight. If you would, just lift your hands and receive this. Father, I ask that you would give all of us a deeper hunger and thirst for your righteousness. God, your word says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be filled. God, we hunger and we thirst for you. We sang it earlier. We've gathered with one thirst and hunger. And God, I pray that as we go to sleep tonight, as we wake up tomorrow morning, that we would seek you like Zacchaeus sought you, God. That we would run ahead of the obstacle. We'd run ahead of the thing that's trying to keep us from seeing you. We wouldn't let physical, mental, emotional obstacles keep us, God. We may be tired, but we're still going to pursue you. We may be overwhelmed and overcome with emotion, but we're still going to pursue you. We may have a problem, a situation that we have no control of, but we're still going to seek you, God. We're not going to let anything hinder us from getting to where you are going to be, because we know that when we get there, you'll reward us with time with you, with your presence, with your forgiveness, with your love, with your mercy, with the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, God, I ask over your people tonight that we would seek you like we've never sought you before, that we would hunger for you like we've never hungered for you before, God, that we would go beyond what has been the norm. God, maybe somebody has been stuck. I just feel this right now. Somebody's been stuck in a pattern for years. You read the same way. You pray the same way. You do the same thing every single morning. And you're wondering, where's God? Why isn't he speaking to me? Why isn't he ministering to me? Why don't I feel his presence anymore? Why is it that when I read, it doesn't make sense? It doesn't speak to me. It's just like words on a page. I say to you today, seek further, go deeper, change something up, and just say, God, and just be honest with him. God, the Bible seems boring right now. God, prayer seems boring. And just be honest with him and see if he doesn't show up and change the way that you read the Bible, change the way that you pray. You're going to feel the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you're going to begin to pray in tongues, and you're going to begin to seek like you've never sought before. You're going to begin to see things like you've never seen them. You're going to feel the joy of the Lord, because in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. And so the things that some, if your time of discipline, daily Bible reading and prayer has seemed boring, has seemed tedious, has seemed, you know, strenuous to you, I would just say right now, you're about to receive the joy of the Lord. If you receive that, just lift your hands, just say, I receive that. God, I pray for the joy of the Lord, the presence of God to fill and flood our prayer closets, our offices, our studies, our living rooms, our bedrooms, our showers, our vehicles, our offices. God, everywhere that we go, Lord, I thank you that you are not reserved to one certain space, but you can meet with us anywhere that we seek after you. God, I pray that we would be people that would cause you to stop and say, hey, you, come down here and come down fast, because I got to get to your house today. God, I pray that we would be people that you would long to be with. I thank you that you long for us, but God, I pray that you would see the desire of your people. Lord, let us be a church that once again seeks you in prayer, God, that we don't just pray for something, but we pray through things, God. I pray that you would give a special anointing to your church, God, that we would pray through things, God, that we wouldn't stop after 5 minutes. We wouldn't stop after 15 minutes. We wouldn't stop after 30 minutes, but we would press into you. We would get into the deeper places, into inner session, into moanings and groanings that can't even be interpreted, God. I pray that you would usher into a deeper place like we've never been before, God. And I pray that we, like Zacchaeus, would have pure and innocent motives and hearts, and we would seek you with all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.